Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you decided to spend some time with us as we head into this weekend, as you look to serve and care for, love the people at your church. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, we have a real treat. We have Darson Sowers on the line with us from North Carolina. Darson, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Rich. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to learning more about you and about your ministry and hopefully challenging us to think about, an area of ministry that we don't talk a lot about it, like here at Unseminary, but I'm pumped to hear what you have to say. Darson, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and let's start there.
Sure. Well, I've been involved with lots of facets in church for quite some time. I started as a music minister when I was 20, and served in various small churches, but I went to school, got an accounting degree, and worked in Big Five public accounting. And after that, I was always very involved in church at some level, involved in the worship teams, typically ministering to adults in what I call big church. And my wife and I, we have three boys, and at our church, there's this requirement that if you drop your kids off at youth services, then you need to volunteer once a month in some capacity.
Right.
So at least somebody from the family. So my wife had typically always done that. And so on our last child, I decided that I would take care of this responsibility for our family.
Nice.
And was all pumped up to change diapers and and got there to the 2-year-old class, and they said, "Oh, no, we don't let guys change diapers. We have a policy against that."
So,
listen, it's a crazy world, right?
Right.
And so parents are weary about those types of things. So I was on board with it. Didn't bother me.
Yeah, exactly,
so much.
Exactly. No, that's fine. So, I agree with that policy. I was going to say, it sounds like a policy written by guys.
Right. So I told my wife, I'll gladly take this sacrifice for our family and serve in that capacity. And, that's really kind of blossomed into what my focus has been for the last 3 to 4 years, is this focus on kid men, what I like to call, and what everybody's calling now, the 4 to 14 window. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk a little bit more about that during the interview, but that's really kind of, all the music background that I've had. I've always been a lay minister. I believe strongly in lay ministry type work. Mm-hmm. We can't let the pastors do it all.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's kind of where I am now. What's most important in our lay ministry, and that's me in a nutshell.
Nice. So why don't we start with the 4 to 14 window? Why is that so important? Why are you passionate about it?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. Dick Gruber mentioned this some time ago. In one of his interviews or one of his books, and he doesn't claim authorship of it, but it's really kind of set into a wildfire, so to speak. So there's this new website called 4to14window.com, and I'm not affiliated with it, and I've only recently come across their particular passion and ministry, but the substance of what they talk about is how important that window is between the ages of 4 and 14. Mm-hmm. They say that 71% of Christians that come to know God come to do so in that window between 4 and 14.
Wow.
And 10% of children between 15 and 19 come to know Christ. Hmm. And the rest, the other 20%, 21% are adults, those over 20.
Right.
And we spend a lot of time and focus on the over 20 in churches and throughout the country. But that is such a crucial window, this 4 to 14 window. And so many churches have really great programs for 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, puppet shows and all kinds of really cool things that they do, great music, and the world of audiovisual arts and stuff has really just exploded. There's so much stuff out there for kids.
Right.
And so this particular age group, this 4 to 14, has really become really passionate for me. So it all started with a vision that I had. And it was a vision. I grew up in this town called Bakersfield, California.
Uh-huh.
It's very hot. It's very dry. 114 degree summer days.
Oh my goodness!
And
wow. Crazy.
And I remember sitting out by the pool, and you would spill a glass of ice water, and immediately that glass of ice water would just evaporate.
Wow.
Would splatter, and it would just evaporate. It would just penetrate the concrete, and then it was nothing to show for it. So I had this vision of me being poured out onto hot concrete.
Right.
And the next vision I had was me being poured into Jell-O molds. And so I really prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what this means. Can you? And, you know, I interpreted it and felt like the Lord was leading me to start pouring my life into things that were more moldable.
Okay.
And so I really kind of caught a vision for kids at that point.
Right.
You know, it's in a comparison to adults, it is far easier, takes far less time, far less resources to make a meaningful impact on a child than it does to make an impact on an adult. And which is probably why 71% of those come to know Christ in that window, even
right.
though we only spend, I think statistics say churches spend about 3% of their budget on that group of children,
right.
on that group of that demographic. Kind of lost my train of thought of where going there.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
But that's kind of the vision for why I got involved with what I was doing. And as I began to explore that, I started to understand and learn more about this movement, more about how important it is at that age. So so I started working in, I talked a little bit about how I started volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things, the first things I noticed, and we have a great church, but the first thing I noticed at our church is that for our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, we would just sit them in front of this really great curriculum on television,
right.
this DVD,
right.
and the kids would watch it. Now, it was designed to be interactive in the same way that Dora the Explorer mm-hmm. is interactive. You know, I can't remember the guy's name who does it. It's Kid Mo.
Okay.
And yep. and he's very interactive with the kids, but mm-hmm. in many cases, the kids were unengaged.
Right.
And so, you know, our kids grew up on these things called Baby Einstein.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, absolutely. Know that.
Well, several years ago, there was this lawsuit because parents were suing Baby Einstein because it was causing some developmental issues with their children.
Right.
And one of their caveats for getting out of this lawsuit was to tell people, listen, our program wasn't designed for you to sit your kids in front of.
Mm-hmm.
Our program was designed for you to interact with your kids and watch it with your kids
right.
and say, oh, look at the windmill or look at the wind or look at
right.
the flowers. So I kind of remembered that and mm-hmm. started seeing these, and I watched these kids interact with the Kidmo, and I thought, well, why aren't we engaging with these kids? Mm-hmm. And so I just started engaging. I was like the second Kidmo guy.
Right.
So I would just stand up there in front of the TV. I would just repeat what he said.
Right.
I would sing the songs along with him, encourage them to move. And it exploded into something that the kids were, this is a lot more interactive. The kids were getting more out of it. They were remembering their verses longer. And so I kind of felt like maybe that should have been a caveat when he released these. These
right.
are designed for adult involvement. And so when you start thinking about that 4 to 14 window, I really felt like we do a lot of work to focus on the 6 to 14, mm-hmm. but nobody's focusing on 4 to 14. And so
right.
for my church mm-hmm. and in my community and where I'm planted, I'm going to be the one who focuses on that 4 to 14, the 4 to 5. So
right.
I really kind of focus on 3, 4, and 5-year-olds leading worship, and we can get into a little more of that later. But
yeah,
but that's kind of the passion.
Yeah, why don't you tell us how kind of your thinking has evolved, what you've done has evolved from kind of being the second guy, the second Kidmo guy, you know, to what you're doing today. What's that process look like?
Well, you know what, it started very slowly, and it happened, what I like to think, very organically.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I would have never thought, oh yeah, I'm going to be create a Kids in Worship praise CD,
right?
And that's going to be my ministry,
right?
And I'm going to be ministering to 3, 4, and 5-year-olds every Sunday morning. It wasn't what I envisioned, so it really just happened. It kind of grew, and
right.
and you know, I found, and I've always found music to be a really great way to memorize scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of verses that you probably have memorized that go back from when you were children, when
right.
you were a child, but you remember it because it was fit in a song.
Right.
Or even in your adult life, you learn memory verses, You know, I can still remember some of that stuff from the 80s. That there is, therefore, now no condemnation. You know, all these songs that are out there. And so those are impactful verses that have helped me in my life. And so we started with this song called The Fruit of the Spirit. It's a public domain song. But the kids went wild. They loved it. And so in 2 weeks' time, the kids started, they knew the fruit of the Spirit.
Very cool.
I was 37 years old before I learned all the fruits of the Spirit. Or maybe earlier than that, maybe the Stephen Curtis Chapman song helped me out a ton. But before then, it just wasn't something I committed to memory.
Right.
Days of creation. I couldn't remember what happened on 3 or what happened on 6 or what happened on 4.
Right.
I think I always knew 6 because that was the day we were made. But but anyway, so so starting to create songs that went along with the Bible lesson or help the kids. So I would just start writing songs. And you know, eventually the parents started asking, my kids are singing these songs. We want a copy of it. I didn't have copies of it. I didn't, you know, so it really just kind of blossomed into that as far as what I'm doing there. But I've seen the importance of this because I've seen the impact I've had on these kids.
Right.
And it wasn't too long after that that a friend of mine was arrested. And I went to the webpage, on a county webpage that you see when people get arrested. If you ever done that, a friend gets arrested, you go check it out. You're like, oh, they got arrested.
Oh, man.
And I went to the website and I saw all these very hard criminal type people, you know, some with tattoos on their neck, very hard looking men.
Right.
Some smiling, some not smiling.
Right.
Probably not their best day, right, when they take these pictures. But I began to see, I don't know if you remember that old Michael Jackson video where the faces started to morph.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
black
I started.
Or white, right? Black?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
That's it. And, you know, great thing about my church is I go to this really great church that is black and white. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why we go there. It's one of the reasons why I love it. Mm-hmm. I like the diversity.
Yep.
But I started seeing these black and white people on this website morph into the kids in my 4 and 5 year old class. And it really occurred to me that at one point, that guy that had hard tattoos all down his neck and gold teeth and very hard looking with his furrowed eyebrows, that he was 6 years old once and somebody took his crayons and he cried.
Right.
And he was upset.
Right.
And throughout his life, he was given opportunities, challenged with circumstances, and he didn't have an appropriate way to turn.
Right.
And maybe it started at 6 years old. Maybe it started at 7, 8, 9, and 10. But there was nothing implanted. Maybe there was nothing implanted in that person to give them another option. Mm-hmm. And so I really feel that that's kind of the big piece of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
When you're involved with Kid Man, and kids nowadays are challenged with some very difficult situations that we may never even could conceive of 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, especially 30 years ago, right?
Right, absolutely.
So they have some tough circumstances to overcome. And so having God's word in their heart, you know, one of these songs we sing is a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And I cry like a baby during the bones part and make a real ham of myself.
Right.
But it's impactful for the kids.
Right.
So, you know, one of the kids was at a grocery store. His mom was getting medicine, and he told her, Mom, you don't need medicine. You just need a joyful heart. You don't need Advil. But the great thing is that these kids know at this age that if I'm joyful, it can be like good medicine.
Absolutely.
Being joyful can help me be. And so we sing another song called J-O-Y. J is for Jesus, O is for others, Y is for you. J is for Jesus, O is for others, Y is for you and you and you. And the kids love it.
Right.
But it teaches very fundamentally that Jesus comes first, others come second, and you come third.
Right.
And so you start to implant these things in children at this age, and it becomes part of how they're wired.
Right.
And so that's... It's really evolved into something that not just fun Sunday time, that I'm implanting something that's going to help these children in the future.
Absolutely. Well, what would you say, you know, to the church leaders that are listening, maybe 3 or 4 things, they're like, okay, yes, we want to do a better job impacting 4 through 14, maybe even through music. You know, what are just a few things, a kind of few handles you'd try to say to them, like, hey, here's some stuff we should be encouraging in our churches?
Right. I think I went to a conference with Perry Noble spoke, And one of the things he talked about is the investment feature. Now, I'm an accountant. Mm-hmm. I'm not a CPA, but I work with a lot of CPAs. I work for a large forklift manufacturer. Uh-huh. And one of the things I know as a finance guy, how important it is to start your 401k when you're 16 years old, right?
Right.
You put $2,000 in your 401k when you're 16 years old, you never have to touch it again.
Right.
But if you're like me and like most folks, you don't start till you're 35.
Right.
And you start loading it up, right?
Right.
But that $2,000 you put when you were 16 that you invested then is going to be worth far more than I could ever even amass at starting at 35. And it's that importance of the time value and where you're investing.
That's good.
So you look at churches and what they're investing in, and you look at the resources it takes to lead someone to Christ. You got to have these nice, in big church, right?
Yeah.
You got to have nice lights. You got to have really great musicians.
Right.
Some churches have to pay musicians, right?
Right.
And they, you know, you have to have people who are, you've got to find people who are talented in their speaking, talented in their singing, really great audio visual production work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes all this money and resources. Mm-hmm. But on the child side of it, not to say you can get away cheaply, but the truth is you can.
Right.
But if you could pour those resources into pour more resources like churches, like churches like Kids on the Move and these mm-hmm. folks who have, mm-hmm. They've decided that we're going to pour all of our resources into this age group, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has dividends.
Right.
It pays for itself.
Right.
In 15 years, these kids grow up to be your youth pastors.
Right.
These kids grow up to be your people who are serving in your church, your lay ministers.
Right.
It's a lay ministry is a very powerful portion of the church.
Absolutely.
The pastors can't do it all.
No.
They absolutely. Have to rely on lay ministers to visit families, to visit hospitals,
mm-hmm.
Even to preach, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... Perry Noble talked about it is the best investment a church can make.
Absolutely.
By pouring money into small kids programs. But we rely a lot on volunteers and people who don't necessarily want to be there because they have to fulfill an obligation, right?
Right.
Because
right.
I submitted my children, now I have to come. So my wife, who spends all week long with the kids, gets to go to church on Sunday and spend time with other people's kids.
Right.
Not that she doesn't love kids, but it's right. not what she was looking forward to, right? It's
right.
not the highlight of her weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we have to have an ability to serve and a mentality to serve in any circumstance, right?
Right.
But I found one of the great things that pastors can do from the pulpit is to mm-hmm. really infuse that area of ministry with cash, straight, mm-hmm. just cash,
right.
money right. for stuff, right?
Right?
And there's so much great stuff out there, and it really doesn't cost much. CMD.com, you've probably uh-huh. heard of
yeah.
Christian ministry deals.
Yep.
Ridiculous curriculum
right.
for like nothing.
Right.
And if you're ever driving through, they'll feed you free tacos.
Nice.
But that was one thing. The second thing that I think would be important is to talk about the importance of having men volunteer with kids.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Perfect Sunday comes together and it's all men in my 3, 4, and 5-year-old class.
Wow, that's cool. Love it.
It has a whole nother dynamic.
Right.
Not better, mm-hmm. not worse. Mm-hmm. It's a different dynamic.
Right.
And some of those kids don't have good fatherly influences.
Right.
Consistent in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we have the opportunity as men in the church to be that example, that place for that child to go in the event that they don't have that in their life and have a great example.
Absolutely. I just want to kind of underline two things you said there. I think, first of all, on the, you know, the spending issue with kids ministry, family ministry stuff, I absolutely agree. You know, I think one of the things we've seen at our church is, you know, I'd say over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had a pretty significant revolution in what's happened in our kids ministry. And a big part of that has simply been saying to that team, what is it you need and how can we get it for you? And, you know, that the reality of it is that parents, whether they're folks that attend church regularly or don't attend church regularly, you know, they don't wake up in, you know, Monday morning or Tuesday morning, they don't typically wake up wondering about, you know, what is my cosmic reality today? You know, they don't, unfortunately. I know that. What they do wake up is worrying about their kids. They wake up thinking, gosh, I don't know how to parent my kids. I'm worried about my kids. I want to help my kids develop, even people who don't attend church. I want my kids to, you know, develop some sort of moral fiber. And if you can provide compelling programs for them, you know, it is a great way to grow your church. And I love what you're saying on the encouraging guys to serve thing. How has your church done that? Because that seems really unique to me, that you'd have a group full of guys leading through, you know, 3 to 5 year olds. That seems really unique. How have you done that?
You know, it, I think it just started with, I think it kind of started with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting involved, it wasn't something I wanted to do either. but when I saw the impact it was having, it really just kind of came from me encouraging other men that I knew that loved to play with their kids. Like, guys like to play with their kids.
Yep. Yeah. The wrestling.
Business types like to sit down and play Wii with their kids.
Yep.
So when I had the opportunity to, and I knew men that were involved and who loved Jesus, mm-hmm. I would encourage them, you need to get involved in it. This is awesome. You will have such a blast.
Right.
And you will be a great example for these kids of godly men. And it's really kind of just caught on that way. And of course, we've asked the pastor to address this issue from the pulpit, and they oblige.
Right.
But I would love to be able to put more video arts and put it together in a nice package for them to see the impact that it truly has.
Right.
I think we're starting to understand that more as a church anyway.
Yeah, my son, I have two kids, 10 and 13, or sorry, 11 and 13. My son would kick me if he heard that. every summer they attend, it's the same camp, but they have a girls' camp and a boys' camp. So it's the same organization, but then it's kind of all girls and then all boys. And you know, it's interesting because when I was younger, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. But it's amazing seeing, you know, my son particularly. It's just a great experience. And one of the things I love, and it connects back to this conversation, is first thing in the morning, right after breakfast, that there's a group of guys there that lead worship with all these, you know, these boys. There's 150 boys. And most of the guys that are running this camp are kind of late high school, you know, and university. And it is like rowdy, obnoxious, exciting worship, right? And it's amazing to see. It is energetic. You walk in the room and you're like, oh my goodness, here's 150 boys just fully, you know, worshiping the Lord. It's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of. And I love that I'm going to confess, you know, sometimes I think kids ministry worship stuff, particularly for guys that are getting a little bit older, that kind of 10, 11, you know, it can be a lot of, you know, like dancing stuff that doesn't necessarily resonate with guys, unfortunately, right? It's like, I'm pretty sure this is targeted at a four-year-old girl, and that just isn't cool for my son. But to see guys up there leading, I think is a big part of that, is a big part of drawing those guys in.
So, right, I agree.
Yeah.
Whenever I do worship, you know, I do a lot of worship for 3, 4, and 5 year olds. But whenever I go to churches and churches will have me come and do stuff, I always make sure if I'm doing, and there's a lot of guys, we add a fist bump into a song.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's great. Hey, this has been a great conversation. We're going to jump into the lightning round in a second. Is there anything else? I know there's a lot we could talk about. Is there anything else you want to kind of make sure we cover before we jump into the lightning round?
Yeah, I would say one thing, and this is something I learned. I used to serve at a church in Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
And there was a kids ministry guy there who was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got down at kid level anytime they asked him a question. Now, he was in the 7 to 12-year-old range, that grade school to junior high.
Yep.
But he interacted well with them. And you know, it's amazing that even my little ministry that I have at my church, it encourages a lot of parents to come.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents are coming to church because, well, the kids want to go.
Right.
The parents are on time because the kids want to be on time.
Right.
So and so one of the things that was most impactful about this guy in Amarillo, Texas, was how much he loved doing this. And so I said to him, and I said, because my experience had always been that once you graduate from seminary, you're a youth pastor, right?
Right.
Or junior high pastor at a big church.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to be a youth pastor.
Right.
And then you get to be an adult pastor. And then someday, if you're lucky, you get to be senior pastor or go start your own church.
Right.
And so I said to him, I said, so how long you been doing kid ministry? Because he was an older guy, probably in his upper 40s. And I said, how long you been doing this? I mean, aren't you going to be stepping up to the senior pastor or something like that at some point? And he goes, this is it. Right. This is my ministry. This is what I want to do.
And so,
I think it's important to encourage people coming out of seminary and pastors in general. I totally understand why somebody would want to lead a church, even if you were had a focus on kids, because you can't get those resources or can't get that focus out of the church unless you're the pastor, right? On some of those things. And so, I think it's important to know the difference between cutting your teeth. Like, you know, when you come out of seminary, you do need to cut your teeth on an audience that's more forgiving, right?
Right.
You need to build some experience and you need to build some wisdom, right?
Right. Right.
And it's a great youth ministry is a great place to do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's people that are specifically called to that until they're 65 years old.
Right.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
And I think, honestly, from a standpoint of making an impact for Christ, mm-hmm. if 71% of the people come to know Christ between that window, wouldn't you want to stay there?
Right.
Wouldn't that be the place that you want to get 71% to make that 71% a bigger piece of the kids who never get to know Christ during that time frame and who are making decisions that ultimately lead to a life that's not as joyful, not as fruitful? Mm. I guess that's probably my biggest plea to people is to realize the value of that 4 to 14 window. I like this website called 4to14window.com. Mm-hmm. They've really got a big vision for impacting the world.
Very cool.
It's crazy. It's insane. So
this is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Let's jump into lightning round, that part of the show where we kind of ask similar questions to people who have, on the show. We're so glad today to have Darson Sowers on the line from North Carolina. It's been a great conversation so far today. What's an online resource or two that you've been using that have kind of had an impact on your ministry?
I've got this new app that I like. It's called OnePlace.com.
Okay.
And it's a really great app. I'm not going to open it up here. But anyway, it's OnePlace.com, and it's got some really great speakers, people that I really have a lot of respect for.
Cool.
Bible Answer Man is on there, and they've got all kinds of really great stuff. So I like that as a resource. I also like Worship House Media.
Yeah.
They've got some really great curriculum out there.
We use them all the time.
CMD.com, mm-hmm. Christian Ministry Deals. Mm-hmm. They've got just insane amounts of curriculum, and it's good stuff.
Right.
And so that's a great source for it. And then this new resource that just came out it's out of the UK. It's called All Stars Records.
Okay.
He has a company called All Stars Records. His name is Cy. I wish I remember his last name. But anyway, he has started a record label in the UK, came out of the Hillsong Church.
Okay.
It's allstarsrecords.com, but he just started a magazine app specifically geared for kids, for kids that are like 8 to 13, I guess. And
right.
it's an interactive magazine for your iPhone or for your iPod. And it can do everything from like watch Bible videos to a lesson to crossword puzzles and seek and find type differences,
but
specifically gear. I mean, it's a really great magazine. It's called AllStarsKidsMagazine.com or All Stars Kids Magazine. It's an unbelievable resource for that age group.
Nice.
And then I really like listening to Jamie Grace.
Okay, nice.
So
there it is. Great. What's a book or maybe a podcast or, you know, something that's kind of influenced you in your ministry thinking, say in the last 6 months?
Yeah, so book reading has never been my strong suit, but I do like podcasts, mm-hmm. and I like listening to James Dobson, uh-huh. Focus on the Family. James Dobson's got a new ministry. He's left. Yeah. He's no longer with Focus on the Family, mm-hmm. But it's still, I enjoy all of those resources. Podcasts are really a great opportunity, especially on some really severe topics that we have going on in our country, everything mm-hmm. from homosexuality to abortion and then to kid men. And so these are really great resources to get a perspective, to help supplement your study and help supplement some material that you might want to talk about from the pulpit.
Cool. All right. So what's another ministry that's kind of influencing you? You're looking at saying, hey, they're doing some great stuff. Love to kind of follow them.
Well, I've always liked KidSpring, mm-hmm. Out of Anderson, South Carolina, mm-hmm. or New Spring Church.
Yep.
They've got some really great resources. And the great thing about their ministry is that everything they do is free for churches.
Yeah.
And they produce some really great stuff out there. So I've enjoyed, they're inspiring. They've done a great job. I like Uncle Charlie. Mm-hmm. If you remember Uncle Charlie, he's no longer doing Kidman. He's doing some other stuff with his life, but he's got a lot of great material out there. Yancey, mm-hmm. it's got some really good stuff for the age group that I really primarily care about, mm-hmm. Or have a lot of impact with. And then, of course, this All Stars magazine. I'm just on fire about this thing.
Right. Nice. I got to check that out.
Of course, in full disclosure, they're going to be doing a Skype interview with me about my album in a few
great.
Months.
Great. So oh, good.
I really like them.
No, yeah, exactly. That's fantastic. All right, if you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive today, who would you want to get that time with and why?
Right. It would probably be James Dobson. Mm-hmm. You know, he just has such a wealth of experience and wisdom. Everything from issues that young men deal with, mm-hmm. you know, these are tough issues, but I think that if men will sit around and talk about it, there are some really tough issues that boys deal with that mm-hmm. can haunt them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And James Dobson has a really great perspective on some of these things and how to bring up boys, how to bring up girls.
Yep.
You know, I've just always been a huge fan of the way he's able to give a Christian perspective to this crazy world of psychology that mm-hmm. the world has invaded mm-hmm. With their perspective and their reasoning. Mm-hmm. I've just always enjoyed his stuff. So
cool. Yeah, he's obviously influenced a generation of people. You know, he's a great guy. All right, so when you're not leading music or leading, you know, the 3 to 5 year olds, you're just kicking back, want to have some fun, and you're not homeschooling, because I know you homeschool as well. What do you do for fun? How do you just kick back and enjoy your time?
Well, my boys like technology. We'd like to play this app called Stickman Golf.
Okay.
Super Stickman Golf. It's a two-dimensional game you can play. I have an iPhone, and my kids have an iPod or an iPad in the house. And boy, we'll play competitive games about who can get the golf ball into the hole the fastest. It's a really cool little app. It's very safe and friendly. I love playing Ultimate Frisbee, that's a lot of fun. And then I like writing kids' music. And my album, I haven't got a chance to mention my album at all. But
that's what I was going to say next. If people want to get in touch with you, you know, learn more about your music, let's talk all about that.
Yeah, right. So I'm on iTunes. I have a website, darson.com. Mm-hmm. It's not a very great website, but there's some stuff out there. It tells a little bit about what I am and how to contact me if you want to do anything with kids' worship. But yep. You can buy my CD there. It's also, like I said, available on iTunes. And
Well, I appreciate you, Darson, being on the show today. Thanks so much for, you know, I think there'll be some people today that'll be challenged by what you have to say, and I just really appreciate you taking some time out with us today.
Thanks for letting me share my perspectives.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.